sat in my booth awaiting my lunch companion, I looked out the window and saw a man sitting in his truck. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot. She approached his window and he rolled it down. Shortly thereafter, she disappeared into the lobby of the motel next door, and he circled around back. He went after her as an ox to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till an arrow struck his liver. As a bird hastens to the snare, he did not know it would cost him his life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. How do you suppose that man ended up there? I think that's what he envisioned for himself as an adolescent, as he met the first girl with whom he was going to go out. I think that's what his parents envisioned for him as they gave birth to a baby boy. How did he get there? You ever been on a trip and pulled over and asked that question? How did we get here? This was not my destination. Well, the answer is simple. You chose the path that got there. Before he ever got online to shop for female companionship, before he ever rolled down his window to negotiate with a seductress, before he ever took his fill of love until morning or until his hour was up, this man no doubt had many times committed fornication in his heart. This morning, that's what I want to talk about, is the path to righteousness and how important it is that we protect our hearts, because our hearts are the heart of the matter. From it flows the springs of life, the issues of life. I'm talking about Proverbs chapter 4, verses 20 through 27. I want to talk to you about your heart and the protections that you have in place, if any. What are you doing to ensure that you don't end up like this man? And the sin might not be fornication or adultery. It might be some other sin. We want to talk about the path. So Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son, pay attention to my words. Listen closely," or attentively, "to my sayings. Don't let them depart from your sight. Guard them within your heart. For they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Guard your heart above all else with all vigilance, for it is the source of life. Don't let your mouth speak dishonestly. Keep devious talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look forward directly in front of you. Fix your gaze straight ahead. Carefully consider the path of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Don't turn to the right or to the left. Keep your feet or turn away from evil." There's a passage in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 19, that talks about the judgment and the destruction that was coming from the Lord, and he called it the fruit of their thoughts. The reason this judgment is coming is it's the thoughts of their hearts were bearing fruit. And that's what we're talking about this morning. The thoughts of our hearts bear fruit in our lives. The outline will be simple this morning. Pay attention to instruction, according to Proverbs chapter 4. First thing he said to do was, "My son, pay attention to my words." Then he says, "Guard your heart." And finally, "Ponder your steps," or "carefully consider the path of your feet." And so let's start by looking at this first consideration. Pay attention to instruction. Paying attention seems like it's getting harder and harder. I don't know about you. Maybe it's just the world in which we live. Maybe it's four kids. I don't know. I don't want to make excuses for it. I know that the more screen time we get, the more we are trained, our hearts are trained to expect, or at least our eyes are, to expect that there's going to be a new image in 2 to 3 seconds. That's how the TV works. Something new every 2 to 3 seconds. You think that's not going to have an effect on our ability to focus on one thing for one time for a while. So our lives are crowded, and sometimes it makes it hard to pay attention. Am I the only one that gets on to send a message to someone maybe on Facebook and ends up shutting down Facebook before I've sent the message because I've just spent the last few minutes reading about people's lives? It's like we go in with one intent and all of a sudden we're way over here doing something else. What about right now? What about even as I speak? You are perhaps 25 minutes away from getting to check off the worship box and going to make plans for lunch. What about right now? Are you inclining your ear to listen to this instruction? I'm trying to show you the path that will keep you away from the parking lot of the motel next door. Inclining one's ear is a conscious choice that we make. Incline your ear to hear, he says. It's not something that we allow to be a passive role in. It's not, well, you do something to tickle, tantalize, or in some other way titillate my attention, and then maybe I'll be led to an interest in what you're saying. No, this is an attitude of the heart that says, I want to hear the instruction of the Word of God. But we can fill our hearts with all of this instruction and be so wise on these matters, but if we don't prevent the things that cause the spring to be polluted, then we'll be no better off. So what is the Bible referring to when it talks about the heart? And it says to guard the heart. The Bible heart, we've been told early on, the Bible heart is the mind. I think that's appropriate because Mark chapter 7 says that it's out of the heart that proceed evil thoughts. And so that's obviously what we're talking about. We're talking about the reasoning, the intellectual part of man. And so he says we need to guard it. What is the significance of the word guard in the phrase guard your heart? Who guards something in life that is not of great value? No one sets a guard in front of their trash can to make sure that nothing happens to it. We guard things that are precious to us, that are valuable to us. And why is the heart so valuable? The text answers that in verse 23. For out of it spring the issues of life. This is the capital of man. You must defend it at all costs. You give away the heart and the city has fallen. It's been well said that whatever the heart loves, the ears will hear, the eyes will see, and the tongue will speak. Isn't that true? Matthew chapter 12, 33 and 34 teaches that, at least pertaining to the last phrase there, concerning whatever fills the heart, the mouth will speak. There Jesus taught that either make the tree good or and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Whatever the heart loves, the ears, eyes, mouth, they're consumed with these things. Isn't that what you've noticed if you have kids driving down the road? Whatever the heart loves, the eye sees, right? Your kids just have this way about finding the ice cream shop, right? You can't get near HEB without hearing, can we go to Spoons, right? They just have this radar about it. There's a toy store over there. Those are the things that we see. I'm told and cautioned about riding motorcycles, and the caution being, nobody sees them. I object. That's the first thing I see. Yeah, that's the first thing I see, and I get it. I get it. You don't have the love, the heart for it that I do. But when you love something, you're drawn to it, and it becomes a part of your pursuit. Some love to argue. Their ears often detect ambiguities in speech or logical fallacies that they can challenge. Some are lustful, having eyes full of adultery, and their eyes are immediately drawn to immodest apparel. Some love money and the things it can buy, and their hearts have been trained in covetous practices, as 2 Peter 2:14 says. Well, if this is the case, that what is in my heart will manifest itself in my members, then we see all the more the importance of guarding the heart. Because whatever I set my affection on, whatever I truly love, is going to be manifest. What kind of safeguards do you have in place? What kind of filters? You know, we filter our water because pure water is important to us. I know people that won't drink anything but filtered water. And even some kinds of filters aren't enough for some people. If it's not, you know, a good enough filter, I'm not drinking. I don't want that impurity in my body. So some wouldn't even think of doing that without a filter in place to catch those impurities. What about your heart? If some impurity enters your body and passes through and is eliminated, like Jesus said, it's not what defiles a man, how much less significant is it that that happens than that something impure should enter your hearts and by it affect the whole life of the man? Consider with me some of these passages. Psalm chapter 141 in verse 3 says, "Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips." Set a guard. You ever think of your mouth as having a guard posted? It's like you've got this thought in your mind, you want to say it, but first it has to be filtered. It has to pass the guard. And the guard has to give you permission to what you say. How many of us just give unfettered access of our tongue to our mind? That we're just quick to speak. And what a danger that can be. Isaiah 33, 15 and 16 says, "He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed and shuts his eyes from seeing evil, he will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given him, his water will be sure." This idea of stopping your ears and closing your eyes because you don't want to hear of evil, the world ridicules us for that sort of thing. Oh, don't want your virgin ears. I remember that in school. Don't want your virgin ears to hear these things. Oh, look at him close his eyes. Just heard a story last week about a little boy who was over at a friend's house, and every time TV would show somebody immodestly clothed, the little boy, I think like 6 to 8 years old, he just looked down like that. And they were so convicted to hear, well, that mom always said that I wouldn't want to embarrass them to look at them when they're dressed like that. Do you have a covenant with your eyes? Do you turn away your ears from hearing of bloodshed? Or can you not imagine your Netflix experience without it? You have a guard in place. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 4. And I'm definitely talking about media and entertainment consumption this morning. I want you to put our entertainment choices to the test with this one. "Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks." Foolishness, filthy talking, coarse jesting. Those are like innuendos. Those are statements that could be taken one of two ways. They have a natural and then usually a sexual connotation to them. He says, you don't want any part of that. In verse 11, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them." And then in Psalm chapter 101, verse 3, the text says, "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." What if we guarded our hearts like the Jews and the Romans worked together to guard the tomb of Jesus? You remember the phrase that was used there? Go and make it as secure as you know how. Aren't our hearts worthy of that kind of dedication? And boy, I'm guilty. I mean, I'm not setting myself up as the example. In thinking about these things, there's a lot of changes that need to take place in my life too. Things I allow myself to watch for the sake of entertainment. Speaking of which, Matt Walsh recently in The Blaze wrote on this issue of entertainment. He said, many of us as Christians have decided that our entertainment choices ought to be exempt from moral scrutiny. We've come to the convenient conclusion that television is a neutral medium. We need not even engage with someone who suggests that a certain TV show or movie is not helpful in our Christian walk. It's just entertainment, we respond with a shrug, which is a bit like saying, it's just food, when someone warns that a Cinnabon won't help us lose weight. While Christians in the Middle East, he goes on to say, are frog-marched into the desert and decapitated for their faith, we are unable to endure the prospect of having to, like, read a book or something from 8 to 9 on Thursdays instead of watching Grey's Anatomy or Scandal or Empire or whatever other brain-rotting, soul-deadening piece of filth. Later on in his article, he also cites House of Cards, The Walking Dead, Dexter, Game of Thrones, and other such shows. I wonder if any of us partake. Concerning Game of Thrones, in March 2014, Joanna Robinson wrote in a Vanity Fair article, everyone knows that Game of Thrones is the most sinful show on television. Why else do you think everyone loves watching it so much? So that's something for the Christian to consider. If the world recognizes it's the most sinful show on television, why do you suppose everyone's watching it? How is it that we can feast our eyes so pleasurably on the things that will condemn a soul to hell if people don't repent of? I wonder if Lot, righteous soul vexed as it was by the immoral conduct of Sodom and Gomorrah, would have sat down and enjoyed himself one of the newest dramas in which there is homosexuality, bisexuality, and all sorts of evil. If our hearts need guarding, then I think it's safe to say that our hearts are under attack. I hope you would agree. I've got a few quotations. Mind you, they're dated. They are dated. They are from rock stars of the past who spoke of the influence of their work and what they're trying to accomplish. This is from Jimi Hendrix in Life magazine. I can explain everything better through music. You hypnotize people. And when you get people at their weakest point, you can preach into the subconscious what we want to say. These may be dated quotes, but they're still very much applicable. And young people, children, those of you who love Pandora and Spotify, and maybe even listening to the radio in the car, who get upset when mom or dad changes the station because you liked the beat of that song, understand what we're trying to do and to protect you from. Guitarist Tom Morello of Audioslave on Rage TV said, we are able to seduce some people in by the music who then are exposed to a different political message. It's a seduction, he says. Also, David Bowie, Rolling Stone, again, long time ago, said, rock has always been the devil's music. You can't convince me that it isn't. I honestly believe everything I've said. I believe rock and roll is dangerous. I feel that we're only heralding something even darker than ourselves. Marilyn Manson said, I don't know if anyone has really understood what we're trying to do to lure people in. Once we got them, we can give them our message. You know, you and I, I have young children, and this is one that really scares me. Bob Pittman, co-founder of MTV, said, the strongest appeal you can make is emotionally. If you can get their emotions going, you've got them. At MTV, we don't shoot for the 14-year-olds. We own them. They have a real high estimation of their influence. But I think sometimes ours as parents is a little too low. Can music change the world? That's the question that's often asked. Of course it can. It does every day. Music changed me. It was the music of Public Enemy and The Clash. The truth that resonated in the beat. Boy, that's a powerful phrase, isn't it? The truth that resonated in the beat. That's Satan taking a play out of God's playbook, isn't it? You remember? You remember Colossians 3 in Ephesians chapter 5? Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. How do we do this? Speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. The truth resonating with the beat. God understood that about music, didn't he? God understood the influence that a beat has. You put to music, the message resonates in the heart of man, and we make melody. Why would we think that such was not the case in the reverse? A quote I found online said that at Woodstock in 1999, 500 riot police had to stop the concert because of violence. 12 trailers and one stage were burned to the ground. Dozens of sexual assaults and rapes occurred. 44 people were arrested. Hundreds of people treated on site for minor injuries. And 253 people hospitalized for more serious wounds. When the band Limp Bizkit took the stage, frontman and lead vocalist Fred Durst introduced a new song titled Break Stuff by stating, "It's time to let yourself go right now, because there's no bleeping rules out there." The majority of the chaos took place right after he said those words and the band started to play. Let yourself go. There's no rules. And you've got 44 arrests, 253 people injured, sexual assaults, rapes taking place. You think music doesn't have power? Guard your heart. You think some filters need to be in place? Parents, do you know what's on your kids' iPods or iPhones? Do you know what they're listening to? Do you know what's in their on their playlist? Have you taken the time to search that out? As they walk around your home with headphones in their ears, you hearing nothing, just knowing they're not fighting with their brother or sister, it's not enough. We branch off. The internet teasers, concerning which we need to guard our hearts. We spoke earlier of the ministers of Satan working in music. There are other ministers at work online. And you know, you just got on to check your mail or see news headlines. But then you read a so-called news headline. Again, these are dated. I didn't really want to go through the process again of searching for these kinds of things. Once was more than enough. A painstaking approach to searching those things without actually looking at those things. So once was enough. Some of these will be dated, but you'll appreciate what I'm talking about. You've seen these headlines yourself. A little blue hyperlink. Says, Miley Cyrus Daisy Duke disaster. And we want to know what the disaster was all about. Two stars step out in the same mink mini. Who wore it best? And who doesn't want to know or register an opinion about who wore it best? And we know exactly what we're doing when we click on that link. Olympians bikini uproar. She probably won't wear this in London. Aren't we curious as to what she won't wear in London? Now, this is what you call a red-hot dress, was the headline. The closer actress Kyra Sedgwick stops traffic in a figure-hugging frock. You see how, I mean, they've got limited words that they can use, but they utilize them effectively. Here's one of Michael Phelps from 2012. Phelps goes public with new girlfriend, the superstar, and Megan Rossi make their first appearance at a red carpet event in London. Her swimsuit picks, because that's so pertinent to this discussion. That's the link. Her swimsuit picks. Really? We're talking about, this is the last one. Woman rocks bikini after losing 100 pounds. I mean, who doesn't like to see a transformation story like that? But what are we doing when we just passively sit there at the computer? Yeah, I'll look at that. I'll look at that. I wonder what that's... Is that guarding the heart? We talked at the beginning about the path. The path that leads to the parking lot. This is the beginning of the path. If you don't think you're affected by it, by what you listen to, what you see, then you're smarter than Solomon, apparently, because he said, in fact, in context, he said, guard your heart. Because the very next chapter, again, we put the chapter divisions in. Remove your foot from evil. My son, pay attention to my wisdom, lend your ear to my understanding. For the lips of an immoral woman, context even, bears it out. We must guard our hearts. And the final thing he says is that we need to ponder our path. Our time is about up this morning. I just want to remind you what the text says about that. In chapter 5, verse 6, it says, you avoid this immoral woman. Her lips are smoother than oil, dripping with honey, two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lay hold of hell, lest you ponder her path of life. And that's where it all started. You allowed yourself to think about what that would be like to be with her. In chapter 7, verses 24 and 25, he says, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Pay attention and keep your heart from even thinking about her ways. It's not just about abstaining from the action. It's about keeping our heart, keeping the desires of our hearts pure. Jeremiah 4:14 says, how long will your evil thoughts lodge within you? In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 6, he says that they were destroyed in the wilderness. Why? Because they lusted after evil things. If those thoughts are in our hearts, it's only a matter of time until we end up where we don't want to be. In conclusion, we've been looking at some very proverbs, if you will, professional verbs, you might think of them. These verbs are pay attention, listen closely, guard, carefully consider, keep. They're the kind of action words that you and I need to do in order to protect ourselves. What I want to leave you with is one passage from Philippians chapter 4, a contrary approach to life. And you're familiar with it, perhaps. Philippians 4, verse 8. Well, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. May God help us to guard our hearts. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If you want a pure heart before God, and you're a sinner and you recognize that, through the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be purified and cleansed this morning by confessing your faith in Him and turning from your sin and being baptized, as our brother Philip did. Or you can confess as a fallen member that you have allowed Satan to have his way with you and you want prayers and encouragement. We stand ready to help you. Whatever way that we can, please let us know how while we stand and sing.